Blog Talk Radio.
I'm here in New York, along with Jay Logan in California. Hi, Jay. How are you?
I am doing great. It's very sunny out here. We've been having like a, don't mean to rub it in, but we're having a great sunshiny week here.
That is great, too. We're not having a great sunshiny week. We have a lot of snow. Mountains of it. I mean, so high that I couldn't park my car at home last night. I had to go to a parking garage just far away, not a few miles away, and I walked home. But you know what? It's the winter, and if it's something you do once in a while or once a year or once every few years, so be it. It's really nice here.
Wow. Well, I heard you had like 6 inches of snow coming in out there, and I guess it's piling up.
Sticking snowstorms consistently. It's not like there's one snowstorm and then all the snow melts and then new snow comes. It's like there's snow, give a few more days, then there's more snow. Then the next day there might be a little bit of snow, but still enough for it to accumulate. So we've just got mountains of snow from multiple snowstorms.
Wow. Well, you know, it'll go away soon.
Absolutely. I know it. It's just a beautiful day to just talk about music and parents and children. As Parents Kids Music, for those who have not listened before, this is a show where Jay and I speak to people about the relationships that they have, whether it's presently or growing up with their parents and or their children, if they are lucky enough to be parents, when it comes to music and about the relationships they create and have because of the music that they listen to, either together or separately.
That's right.
Now, Jay, is there any interesting things that your daughter's been listening to or any artists that you'd like to share with us today?
I sure will. There's a 12-year-old boy. His name is Shaheen Jeffagoli. And he's been on British Got Talent, and this guy, he sung like "Who's Loving You" by Michael Jackson, and if you guys get a chance, you got to check this out. British Got Talent. You might can see him on YouTube or anywhere like that. He signed to Island Records, and it's ShaheenOfficial.com. www.ShaheenOfficial.com, and this is just an amazing little kid. And this guy, whenever he gets on the stage, man, everybody starts clapping their hands once he starts singing, and he's only 12 years old.
Wow.
And he's not even from our country. He's over in England, and he's over there. And I just think he's 12 years old. He signed a record deal with Island Records, and his debut album, When I Come of Age, is due to release in March, in a month from now. He's 12.
He's 12 years old. It's like all these 12. People we keep on talking about are kids who have had their debut album, or they've had multiple albums. And they are kids.
Yeah. And this little guy has this extraordinary voice. And I chuckled when I listened to him. I can't believe it. You know, it's like kids now are talented than adults, I think. You know, I don't know what's going on here. Maybe the parents are just working on their kids.
Indeed.
That's what this show is about, you know. It's about kids, and it's about what they're doing with music, and I'm hoping that this guy, his instrument is his vocals, and he's an actor, and he's a singer, and he's got soul. And he was born in 1997. I think now he's 14 now, you know.
Wow, 1997, the year that the machines took, no, never mind, wrong wrong fictional universe. This is the real world here. And seriously, kids, they're musicians and they're kids. Now, is there any, now Jay, is there any other stories you can share with me about something musically that's just happened in your life that, like, really, like, fits along with this? Because I know we've been talking about a lot of different child prodigy musicians and artists and stuff. Anything, any other cool stories you want to share off the bat?
Well, you know, I could tell a little story. When I was a kid, I had a band, and some of my members of my band, they were all kids, and we got this band together. And one or three of the members from this kid's band ended up being famous musicians. One of them was a guy, his name is Eric Daniels. He's Mariah Carey's music director now, but he was in my band when we were kids. The other one, his name is John Parrish. Well, he happens to be the drummer for Earth, Wind, and Fire. But as a kid, he was in my band. And the other one was a female vocalist, and she was a kid. And her name is Bonnie Boyer. She passed maybe about 10 years ago, but she ended up being Sheila E's and keyboard player and music director. And so I'm just wondering, I have been surrounded by all these kids that end up becoming famous musicians. So that, you know, I could share that with everybody. These guys are still playing. Daniel still works with Mariah Carey. He's still a music director. John Parrish is still Earth, Wind, and Fire's drummer. And Bonnie has since gone on. And but basically, I could share that with the audience out there. So we were kids. We grew up. We became great musicians and music lovers.
That's amazing. And you remain friends with these childhood friends who, all of you, you included, have just, like, gone on to have, like, successful music careers.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing from that little tiny thing, that little tiny band from high school, they all became successful in their own right. So that tells you, if you stay in school and you listen to your parents, that's the two keys, stay in school, but listen to your parents first, then stay in school, and anything you could do, anything you can dream of, you could be. So for all the kids out there, those are the two things. Listen to your parents, stay in school, and practice your instrument, and you too will have a chance in this beautiful world of dreams.
Wow. Wow. I know we've shared this before, but I know that you've come from a musical background, but what is it that you love about music that brought you to that point where, that, yes, this is what I'm going to do as a career, and nothing is going to stop me with that?
Well, for me, it's the fact that music is spiritual, and you can't, you know, you're like, you can't touch it, but you can feel it, you know, and the feeling and what it gives to your heart, and it doesn't matter what kind of music it is. All music is good, you know. I like this type of music over this type of music. It's just the fact that you can feel it in the spiritual. And it's also, like I said in earlier shows, it has a time machine effect, which can take you back to the 40s or to the 30s or to the up. It can take you to now, to present day. So you can go to every era, and you can see what people were listening to at those periods of time and relive and react some of the music expressions from those eras. So that's the thing I like about it. It's universal, and it can take you all over time periods. And that's the thing that I like about music. And it's all kind of different flavors from all different cultures. And everybody uses it. It's been here since the beginning of time. I mean, I couldn't picture myself doing anything else. This is what I love. So. So hopefully everything is on air here. Checking.
Hello, for those here, welcome back. Hey, this is Ian here on Parents Kids Music. We're going to take a short break. Actually, never mind. Here comes Jay. Hey,
wow.
Jay, welcome back.
Oh, thanks very much. I hope my question, my answer went through, what I love about music, and basically what I was saying earlier is the fact that every culture has a musical health and has a musical background. And music is so spiritual, and that's what I like about it, where you can feel it, and you can feel whether it's good music or bad music. Or I don't even think there is bad music, but you can kind of feel it. And basically, you could use it as a time machine where you can go back into time and experience how music was in the 40s or the 30s or the 20s. You can see how people act back then and what they listened to, what the beat was and what the tempo was. So this is what I like about music. It tells a story, and it's so global. So global that every culture has its own story. And I always wanted to play music all over the world when I was a kid for different people. And that's what I love about it, where everybody on our planet can appreciate it, every culture. It doesn't matter if you're Japan, Russia, Great Britain, America, you know, it's just beautiful. And this is what I love about music. So if that answers your question, Ian, that's why I play music.
Absolutely. That is beautiful. So our first guest right now has had some technical difficulties and maybe coming on later. So right now, we'd like to open the phone lines if you're available. The number is 661-244-9800. That is 661-244-9800. We don't always have a chance to speak to the general public and our listeners about what they experience in their relationships with parents and their kids when it comes to music. So come join us here on Parents Kids Music and give us a call, and we'd love to hear from you. Actually, wait, we actually do have a caller, so let me bring them in. Hi, this is Ian and Jay on Parents Kids Music. Who is this?
Hey, Ian, it's Jake.
Hello, Jake. Hey, welcome. Jake, meet Jay. Jay, meet Jake. Meet Jay. Jake. Similar names.
Hey, this shouldn't be confusing at all.
I didn't think so. So Jay, I didn't have a chance to tell you that you and Jake have a lot in common in terms of being musicians and having experience in touring and aspirations to be in the studio. Like, here, Jake, why don't you share a little bit about what you're currently up to?
Sure. Right now I'm in a band called Freelance Wales. We've been on the road for the last year. I actually leave for Europe tomorrow. We're doing a couple weeks over there. We played over 150 shows this year, and we've just been working hard, and I'm looking forward to being back in New York and getting into the studio a bit and, kind of trying to begin a career as a session guy as much as I can, as much as that scene is still alive in New York. So
That is very cool. And what is it that got you, as we were asking Jay earlier, like, what is it that got you into becoming a musician, and what is it that attracted you to it growing up?
It's a tough question. I haven't really figured that one out yet, but I know that when it came to drumming and all other extracurricular activities in my youth, I really liked to hit things. I was really into sports where you got to hit stuff, and I was into karate and then drums, was the epitome of just smacking things. And it wasn't until much later that it became a musical aspiration for me instead of just a smacking things aspiration.
Wow.
I'd like to ask Jake, what type of drum set are you working with? What's working with, Jake? What are you working with?
Right on. Well, I started playing, I got a 1996 Pearl Export. It was, the standard back in the mid-90s. And then I bought my first drum set probably 10 years after that. I got a Pacific, which is DW's outsourced brand. And then I sold that, and I got a Yamaha Hip Gig because I was playing in New York. So it's the kind of tidbit packs up into itself. All the toms and the snares put inside the kick drum. And that's what I'm still playing. You know, I've had that on the road for the year, and I love the way it sounds. I've made my little modifications to it to make it a little bigger. I added a separate floor tom and my own snare and all that stuff. But I just love Yamaha drums. I love the way they're tuned, and I'm not even sponsored by them, so this is actually me loving Yamaha drums.
What about hardware? What you doing? What kind of kick pedal? What you working with down there? What you got?
Sure, yeah, I got a DW 9000.
Yeah.
I used to use the 5000, but I use the double chain 9000 now. I don't use a double kick. I've never really gotten into that, but I like being able to have a fast single foot, and I find that I'm able to do it best with the two chains on one pedal. And I use Tom hardware for the most part.
Okay.
I think they make really good stuff. Tom and their upscale brand is Iron Cobra, so I use a lot of that stuff.
So what age did you start doing this stuff? Like, what age when you picked this joke? How old were you when you started?
I started in high school. Well, not high school. In this public school marching band in about fourth grade, and I started training on the drum kit in 1998. So I was 13, and that was about 12 years ago. So I've been playing on the kit ever since then. I took private lessons then. You know, there was probably a year in there when I was in college and I didn't have a kit, so I didn't play. And then I started taking lessons with a guy named Alejandro Lucini, who is from Brazil. And he kind of changed
wow.
my whole outlook on everything and, you know, taught me how to motivate myself.
So do you tune your drums to, like, for the kids out here that want to be drummers? When you tune your drums, do you tune it to notes?
I do try to tune to notes, depending on the project. So for Freelance Wales, when we're on the road, I pick one song where I play toms the most, and I tune to the 1, 3, and 5 of the key of the song. It's in C sharp, so you know, I tune to the 1, 3, and 5.
Okay, so you change major. So you tune to major.
That song's in major. And if it were in minor, I'd do it in minor.
Okay. Well, that's very good for kids to know that drums have to be in tune, you guys.
They do, yeah. It drives me crazy to hear drummers that don't keep their drums in tune. They sound like garbage when you don't keep them in tune. So.
So when you were in the marching band, right? Were you? Is that something you liked to do when you did that?
Yeah, I really loved it. I think it's cool to do orchestral drumming and drumming where there's one individual for one drum, and everybody plays their part very carefully and deliberately. I think it's a really interesting way to go about playing music. I mean, it's the original way that people were playing drums, so I think it's cool to go back to that. And it really helps to know how to read music, read drum music or any music, and that that was a really good foundation for me.
And for the kids out there, is that a hard thing to do, to read drum music? Is it hard?
Certainly isn't for everybody, but I started taking music lessons when I was really young. So it was kind of, I don't want to say second nature, because reading music is definitely still a struggle for me, but reading drum music was a lot easier than reading piano music, so it was kind of a relief.
Okay. So did your parents inspire you? Did they take you to certain concerts to see different drummers like Def Leppard? I'm just trying to see who you went to see. Who inspired you as far as your drum teacher? You like playing drums. Did you have a drummer in some group,
my dad's a musician, and he plays like 7 or 8 instruments. And
wow.
He's very, very proficient, and he plays everything by ear. He's kind of out of his mind, but he's not actually out of his mind. He's very good at music. And so he, was always very nurturing. There was always a guitar lying around, always a piano. He used to play organ in a bar way before I was born. But, we had this organ lying around. And I was never stopped from hitting things or, strumming things or just kind of experimenting on my own. And that definitely, has carried on through the rest of my life. Both my parents encouraged me to pursue music, and they're still encouraging me to do that. And when it was just a hobby, they were happy it was just a hobby. And when I decided I wanted to make it my career, they were, you know, they were fully in support of me making it my career. So.
So when did you realize that you were good? Now, you didn't take this from a kid, but, you know, to now you're grown up and stuff, and now you want to do sessions and stuff. So when
yeah.
did you realize? When did you realize that this is what you wanted to do? You know, like one of the things that you wanted to do. Like, did you know when you were a kid, or did you just keep playing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think in my memory, I remember having this dream that I could just play music all the time, you know. But
mm-hmm.
In reality, I don't think it was ever something that I realistically thought would happen. So I always had these, I always tried to satisfy myself with other plans, you know, like I'll go to law school. And I had political aspirations when I was a little kid, and that excited me, so I'll do that. And you know, that never really sunk in and never felt right. And it wasn't until after college, really, that I got a job and I realized what it was like to be a grown-up in America. And I realized that I really didn't want to have a regular job. And I thought about what I loved doing the most, and it was playing the drums. And so I just started sharpening up and really going at it. That's really what, that was a turning point for me when I was kind of forced to do something else, you know.
Did you have any kid friends that your guitar player from high school or they're still playing along with you? Is anybody still there? That from your
I still play with my band from high school actually. We've gone through a bunch of different iterations since high school, but we still play together. We still have shows in the city occasionally, and you know we jam every few weeks. It's kind of like a funk jam band. It's really a good time, and it's definitely what. You know, it's what started me getting interested in playing with bands was that band, and I'm still playing with them, which is really cool.
Now, any of them went on to do the things that you're doing, or are they just in the city and you're just, you know, done more? Have any of them grown as much as you have?
Yeah, they're definitely not, you know, they're not touring musicians or anything like that. One of the keyboard player tunes pianos. He owns a piano tuning company, and so, you know, he does get to be around music all the time. But I don't have any friends from high school or college, really, that are full-time touring musicians. Yeah, I mean, one of my peers from college who actually taught me a lot when I was there, his name's Corey Brecker. He lives in Chicago, and he teaches, you know, drums and piano, and he does a lot of teaching, and his band is Conductive Alliance, and they go on the road sometimes for short spurts here and there. But that's the closest.
And the other thing, did you get to jam with your father? Just want to know, you know, he's playing all his instruments. Did you get to like jam with him in any of the, you know, places he's playing?
Yeah. I've gotten to play with him a couple of times. He plays the keyboard mostly. Like I said, he played the organ in the bar, so he's really, you know, he picks up everything on the keyboard. He can play anything by ear after hearing it one time. So. There have definitely been a few times where we just sat down and you know, I had my drum kit and set up in the basement, and he had his keyboard set up in the basement and just start playing. Sometimes he'd fill in for a member of a band that couldn't make it to practice or something like that.
That's the perfect bench player to have.
Exactly, yeah, he's a really good bench player.
Excellent. Yeah, so let's just go back a little bit before playing music, about listening to music, and what was it that the music you were listening to growing up, what was it like growing up in your house with your family and the music that was played on the radio or on records or CDs?
My dad likes a lot of kind of old fogey music is what I used to call it when I was a kid. You know, it's stuff that I kind of like now, but back then it seemed really lame. Like Dave Grusin, Joshua Redman, these are really, really awesome horn players that played, you know, adult contemporary jazz stuff. But, you know, now it seems so impressive to me as someone that wants to be a musician. But back then it was like a joke, you know. There were no words. It was just, you know, these dudes going on solos and playing the forms of old jazz standards, and I thought it was kind of lame. And my mom really was into and still into adult contemporary stuff. So, you know, we'd listen to, it was in New York, New Jersey's Magic 98.3. I would, you know, food shopping. We'd be in the car listening to Net 98.3. And so that was, you know, that was the initial experience with music. And certainly, you know, a lot of Beatles, a lot of James Taylor, a lot of those amazing artists from the 60s and 70s that kind of shaped music forever. Not to just write those guys off as ineffective. I think the Beatles are still one of my favorite bands, so.
I think for many people as well. And Jake, I mean, you just, like, unlocked a big part of this show where there are things that you listen to when you're growing up that you can't stand, yet as an adult, you can appreciate it and like it. And that's, like, a big part
yeah.
of this, about really, like, how much or how little your parents and your family have influence on you musically.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see, you know, the stuff. Well, I mean, like you said, the stuff when I was a kid that I kind of wrote off as a joke, that my dad listened to this and we all laughed about it, and he couldn't listen to it when I was in the car, you know, made these silly rules. And now, like, I'll pick it out of my iPod, you know, I'll look for it.
Absolutely. Like, I just remember as a kid, like, being in the car, my parents would play, like, Light FM, and, like, The Long and Winding Road would come on, and I did not connect it to this is the Beatles or this is something. And it's weird how, like, Let It Be, like, all these years later is, like, one of my favorite Beatles albums.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
Long Winding Road is my favorite Beatles song, so it's a good example.
Absolutely. Yeah, so do you have any siblings?
I have a sister, yep. She is 34, and she is a doctor, but she was also a singer when she was younger and did a lot of theater, a lot of a cappella in college. And seeing her with her, you know, relative success singing was definitely an inspiration to me growing up. I sang my first opera with her when I was 3. She was 12.
Great.
And then, you know, I've continued singing, and she continued singing up through college. And then med school, I think, got a little too much, took up a little too much of her time. But I continued singing through college as well, and even afterwards in New York, I sang with an adult choir.
Wow, so I see a lot of, like, performing together, but anything about listening to music together, like, did you, like, what was your first concert?
My first concert was the Beach Boys. I was 5. maybe 5 or 6. And my parents took me to it was the old Garden State Arts Center in Homedale, New Jersey. And John Stamos was their drummer for the tour.
Wow.
yeah, that was my first concert. That was pretty cool.
That is cool. I mean, even with the corporate name, that is still a pretty cool venue.
Yeah, definitely. It's a cool venue. And you know, I continued going to concerts with my parents for a long time. We saw, went to Billy Joel a bunch of times. My dad and my sister and I and my mom were all huge Billy Joel fans. I went to my first blues show with my dad. It was John Mayer's first trio show in New York City, like right when he started deciding he wanted to play the blues and before he decided to stop playing the blues.
So it was that very short moment of pop star John Mayer being musician John Mayer.
Yeah, he got excellent for like a couple of years, and I felt privileged to see the birth of that, and then kind of sad to see the death of it.
For now, at least.
Yeah, for now, right. And he's pretty young, so maybe he'll be a 70-year-old awesome blues guitarist. I mean, he probably will be. He's an awesome guitarist.
Absolutely. He's one of those people, it doesn't matter what it is. And, I mean, it's kind of like Eric Clapton, who's performed in so many different forums and so many different kinds of bands, different kinds of music, and yet it all fits in together.
Yeah,
so with your experience of music growing up to the point of where you are now, like, what advice would you have for people about accepting or rejecting what you get from your family growing up music-wise?
It's a good question. I mean, it was easy for me to accept everything I got from my family because everybody was very encouraging, and you know, I wasn't super critical of the things that I was listening to. But for someone who's forced to listen to stuff that they don't like, you know, I think it's important to have your own musical taste and pursue your own musical aspirations. And you know, if your parents don't encourage you, I can see how difficult that would be for people. But if you really
like,
have,
did you
gift,
have
then...
did you have friends who just couldn't stand what their parents were playing in the car?
I'm sure that I don't really remember off the top of my head, but I'm sure that I had friends that couldn't stand, and I'm sure that most parents can't stand what their kids are listening to, you know. I think that's an even bigger challenge, because it's easy for kids to access new music, but it's really difficult for adults of our parents' generation, at least, to access stuff that we're listening to. You know, like, I introduced my parents to Arcade Fire, and it was great, but when I was young, there was no Arcade Fire. There was no band like that. That was, you know, a unifier for many generations.
Absolutely. Jay, any final questions for Jake?
Yeah, I do. This is on the technical side of things. I would like to know, Jake, what do you think about the new electronic drums and the new digital software that you record? You don't actually bring your kit in. You bring in a Roland kit or a Pearl kit or a Lucas kit. Could you touch on that a little bit? What do you think about it? And is it cool or is it not cool?
Yeah, I mean, I think to work electronics in with acoustic drums, for lack of a better term, is an interesting production technique that's getting more and more popular. I'm very against replacing drums with electronic drums. I think you can really, you lose a lot of dynamics when you just lose dynamics when you just use electronics. But at the same time, if you have like a Roland SPDS, which is a sampler, and you can use that in a live show or in the studio to get sounds from your drums that you could never get otherwise. If you're using it as an expansion thing, a tool, it's I think it's great, it's admirable. It's just one more thing that you have to hit even more precisely. But if you're just, you know, if you're just putting on a track and you hit play and you play along to it, I think that's kind of boring. And as an audience member, I'm always pretty disappointed by that.
And the other question I had for you is going back into time, do you feel drums are still used as a type of communication? Like you're back in the old jungle days and where drums were used as cell phones. Could you touch on that a little bit? What do you think about the communication?
I think to certain people, drums are still, you know, certainly not used as communication, but I think musically, depending on the musicians you're playing with, drums, you know, are the... they're like the operator. They're the hub that everything goes through. And you kind of defer to the drummer on all dynamic changes. And if you watch the Roots play, you defer to the drummer on your chord changes, on what part of the song you're in. I mean, you literally just look to Questlove for every single thing that goes on in the entire song. And he makes the call. And then there are the musicians who, you know, everything is composed very... very deliberately, and everybody plays their part, and there's not a ton of interaction going on sometimes. But other times there is, you know. I think it just depends on the band and the musicians in that band.
Leave us with your... That's, you know, I know you got favorite drummers, but give us the three top drummers that inspired you.
Sure. Carter Beauford of the Dave Matthews Band. Mitch Mitchell of the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And this is a tough one. Can I say one of my teachers, or does it have to be a renowned drummer?
It could be anyone. No.
Okay, well, I mentioned Alejandro Lucini before, and he really, you know, in terms of my philosophy on learning and how to grow and my level of discipline and motivation, I mean, he defined all those things for me, so I would go with him.
Excellent. Thank you, Thank you so much, Jake, for joining us
yeah.
today. And
thank you, guys. Thank you,
sharing your background.
Thank you, Jake. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Take it easy, guys.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jake, for calling in. And now, if you think it's snowy in New York, just imagine just how much worse it must be further up in New England than in Rhode Island. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Jim. It's Ian in New York, and I'm meeting Jay out in California.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing there?
I'm doing great. A little tired from shoveling, but...
Is it true what Ian said? It's more snow up where you're at?
I have no idea how much snow there is in New York, so...
I just can't count it. I just know we have a lot of snow. I just couldn't even... I just couldn't even just park my car in my driveway last night. I had to put it into a garage a mile away. So
I have a 5-foot wall along my sidewalk.
Wow. Wow, it's like these like people. Yeah, so hello, Jay, I can feel like the reception going in and out. Yeah, so Jim, how about if you share with us some of your experiences about your musical tastes now and just really the story of, like, your experiences just growing up and where it's, how it's brought you to where you are today?
Well, now I kind of, it's cliche, but I kind of listen to a little bit of everything. It wasn't always that way. Growing up, I listened to a lot of oldies music. We had a radio station in Connecticut that I listened to all the time that was like the 50s, 60s, oldies. For reference, I'm 31 years old, so it's music of my parents' generation, really, that I listened to mostly growing up. And the earliest band I can remember that was my favorite band would be the Beach Boys. And then it kind of transitioned into the Beatles. And I listened to some other stuff here and there and went through a weird 90s hip-hop phase. And
hey, who did it, Dark Time? I mean, every time it snows, I think about that Canadian rapper Snow.
Primarily I listen to Fish is my favorite band. I listen to a lot of bluegrass, a lot of other jammy type music, still lots of classic rock. I still love the Beach Boys. I still love the Beatles. I don't know anyone who loves music who can't say they don't love the Beatles. But...
So it's just a complete opening, and what was it that experience like what was your relationship with your parents when it came to music? Did you talk to them much about what was on the radio and learn about who is this artist that's on here or so?
Yeah, I primarily talked to my mother about that kind of stuff. My mother was a hippie in the late 60s, early 70s. So she kind of liked that scene. I'm not so much like Grateful Dead type hippie, but the general vibe of it. She liked the Jefferson Airplane, and I think when she was a kid, she tried to be a rebel when the Beatles came to the United States, and she really liked the Dave Clark Five instead. And she'd probably be my biggest influence, I guess. But neither of my parents were really all that into music growing up, and so it was kind of whatever's on the radio is what we listened to, sort of thing. I mean, my vote was always the oldie station when I was younger.
And about what age do you feel that changed and you realize, okay, there's more than just these oldies?
I started probably when I was in, like, middle school, like 12, 13, I started to listen to a little bit more classic rock. So I kind of moved from the 50s, 60s into the late 60s, 70s, to the early 80s kind of deal. And around then I started to move with the times, and I still listen to, growing up in the early, that was probably like 92-ish, 93. So I was kind of into some of the newer music, but not really. Probably not until high school did I really start to listen to a lot of newer music, I guess. And when high school came, I started listening to almost everything, really. Primarily rock music, less rap and country. I almost never listen to classical, even now. But in high school, I was really into the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, some other ska music, and that's when I started listening to Phish and some of the other like bands that were big in the 90s.
Like, did you care much of, like, the whole Seattle grunge scene at its peak?
Most of my friends were not into, like, Nirvana. I mean, I still prefer Pearl Jam to Nirvana, and I say they kind of started the whole grunge thing, even though they weren't really grungy. But I had some friends who were into Pearl Jam. I didn't have too many friends that were really into Nirvana at the time. I wasn't really into Nirvana. I actually didn't start liking them until halfway through college, I'd say. But Pearl Jam, I did enjoy.
Long after Kurt was gone.
Yeah, basically. But, yeah, so the grunge scene wasn't huge in my high school. I went to a private high school, and there was the hip hop crowd, and then there were a lot of like neo hippie type listening to Phish, listening to some acoustic music. There were a bunch of ska kids, a lot of kids into like punk type music, and a lot of classic rock fans, but there were very little that were into, very few that were into the, like, the grunge scene.
Got it. Everyone has their different ways and different groups. Like, probably, like, not a single person I went to high school can even tell me who Phish was, except for the few I took to shows.
they were huge in my high school. And there were a lot of people who absolutely hated them, and there were the people who absolutely loved them, and I was kind of in the middle there and kind of started to listen to them more and more, and they really blew up for me in my freshman year in college.
Wow. Yeah. So Jay, you had a question for Jim? Yeah. I wanted to ask him, tell us a little bit of some of the concerts that you might have went to. Either did you go to any concerts with your parents as a child or growing up? Did they take you to see anyone that you can remember?
The first concert I probably ever attended, believe it or not, would have been Arlo Guthrie, but I would have been like six, and I don't think I remembered it. But the town I grew up in had a summer festival every year on the town green. And a big part of that was a concert. And Arlo Guthrie played the first Brantford Festival that they ever had. And that was in like 1985. So I was about 5-6 years old. So I don't necessarily remember that. I've attended every single one of those Brantford festivals until I moved to Rhode Island, which had been about 7 years ago. So so, and even so, I'd go to a couple of them. But they used to have a lot of local bands, too, that would play. There was a group called Eight to the Bar. They were kind of like a jazzy, swing, fun. I mean, can't really describe their music. It's kind of fun. And so I would see them. And the first real concert, I guess, I went to would be the Beach Boys and the Moody Blues, though we left after, like, the first one or two songs from the Moody Blues, the Beach Boys opened. And that was, I think, sixth or seventh grade.
Well, did any of the bands come to your high school? Like, any of the bands come perform there? Maybe some of the local bands there that the high school that you went to? Did you have any entertainment? Did they share?
I went to a private Catholic high school. It was actually 45 minutes from my house. And we'd have the high school bands that, you know, the various bands that people from the high school itself had, but there was never a concert there from any other regional, local bands. And even I actually didn't really go to any concerts when I was in high school. I think the last concert I went to before I had gone to college was a second time seeing the Beach Boys. And that was right before I went to high school.
Okay. So your favorite band now is Phish? Is that what your favorite band is now as a being 31 years
yes.
old? Or is that?
What's that?
I wanted to know what's your second favorite band also.
Probably the band.
Okay.
If I had to pick one. And that actually came from an influence from my stepfather, who told us stories about how he'd, every year a friend of his would have a party and they'd all go and sit and watch The Last Waltz.
Wow.
And so I started listening to the band and really got into them. And if Phish didn't exist, it would definitely be them.
Okay. I wanted to ask one last thing. I wanted to ask him about, do you have a huge CD collection or do you have a music collection still that you built on?
I have, if you don't count live shows that I've downloaded off the internet, I have over 400 CDs, like actual albums that were released.
Wow.
That I've bought or have been given. So I still enjoy collecting CDs. Kind of started to get into the MP3 thing. And that collection's even bigger than what I have in CDs.
But I see that you love live music, and that's great. So you enjoy that more?
Oh, yeah. I've been, since college, since I started actually going to concerts more often, I love going to see live music. I actually prefer live music to just listening to a studio album.
That's good. That's wonderful. That's what we need. That's what we need to know on our show because the live music. You know, I went to the National Association of Music Merchants, and the whole thing down there, Ian and Jimmy, was the fact that they had live music, and without that, it's no need to release a CD. If you can't sound like yourself when people come see you, and it's so important. So I'm so glad that you like live music. So I just want to give you an A+ on that and a big thumbs up. Kudos to you because live music is what it is. Everything else is after the fact. So just wanted to give that to you.
Even though everything does have its value, the live music, the recorded music, the recordings of live music.
Without the recordings of live music, I probably wouldn't listen to half the bands I listen to now.
Right.
I mean, just so much connection, just so much marketing power, just like even just on a grassroots level, just word of mouth, just really like decades of tape trading that's since moved to just being able to download a show, a soundboard copy, like, to before you even get home from the venue.
Right.
It's amazing technology and where it's gone.
So what would you say to the kids that are coming up today about going to live concerts and supporting live music? What would you have to say to them if you had to? They asked you about live music.
I would tell them to ask their parents to bring them to concerts.
Wow.
That's probably one of my biggest disappointments is I'd never really gone to a concert. I mean, my parents weren't all that big into music, but I'd never really, other than the Brantford Festival, which was just in our hometown, never really went to concerts, which is part of the reason why it never really started going until I went to college.
Well, you sure did get, you know, Jim, you really did start doing live music things. So it's amazing that your parents didn't really do that with you, but when you grew up, you grew into that. And so that's amazing in itself, because usually people need to be pushed and took into. Most of these kids today, they need to know about the live instruments, and they need to know about the live concerts, and they need to know so music stays alive, you know. And I'm glad that you're saying that to our listening audience, because that's what needs to be done. And the music stores need to start bringing the instruments to the schools so they can see what they do, so they can enjoy them. I don't care if it's an oboe or violin or electric guitar. We have a lot of schools that don't have instruments, and that's what needs to do to regenerate this musical thing, this thing we call
absolutely
music. Jim,
thank you so much for joining us. Do you have any final thoughts on just the state of just music and just the relationships that you have with your family and with your parents as a result or not as a result of the music you listen to?
My parents are a huge influence on the type of music kids listen to. So, I mean, even though my parents weren't big into music, they did the music they listened to. My mother, my father, and my stepfather, all the music they listened to was all something that has affected me and my taste in music and my desire to seek out more music. So if parents out there, listen to music with your kids. For kids out there, ask your parents to bring you to a concert.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Jim, for joining us today.
Thanks,
sure.
Jim.
And good luck finishing that shoveling.
Oh, it's done, finally.
All right. In that case, relax or something, because the mountains of snow are going to be there for a few weeks at least.
At least.
All right, Jim.
Thank
talk
you.
To you soon.
Bye.
All right, bye. Wow, Jay, what a great pair of guests we had today. Both of them with their own individual musical influences. I mean, we had Jake being the musician, the drummer, who just basically is not only just picked up like the music that he listened to with his parents, but the fact that his father sometimes even plays with him in his bands. And then we had Jim, who has just grown up just exploring music from different places, not necessarily getting his entire musical taste from his parents, but just being able to find his own way and to remain influenced, and just clearly showing his love of live music.
Yeah, I like both our guests. Jim was very amazing, showing his love of live music and how is sharing with us how important it is for parents to take their kids to events to see live music and sharing that time with them. So I like that about Jim, because it gave us a different perspective on how important it is to share time with your kids and have a great musical health. And on the other hand, Jake was very, it helped in the educational thing to kind of teach the kids about drums and how you tune them and how his dreams have become a reality. Which that showed that, you know, if you work hard and you work hard and listen to your parents, stay in school, your dream can come true being a musician. So it was two different sides. That was very amazing, Ian, and I really appreciate these guests being on the show, because it showed two different sides of how you can appreciate your music and have a great musical health in your family.
Absolutely. And once again, thank you, Jim, and thank you, Jake, for being on the show today. Now, before we end the show, I know that Jay and I would like to share a website we've been sharing with you guys the last few weeks on Parents Kids Music, and that is whatisyourtreasure.net. And yes, it's .net. You got that, Jay? .net.
.net. I got it now. .net.
.net. I mean, Jay, what do you treasure from the last week of your life? What is it that, what like moments, what experiences, what relationships would you never, even if they give you $1 million to undo or to let go, you would not do?
Well, there's a lot of things, but today, my health. I think, you know, your health, you can't do anything without it. You can't function. You can't do anything. So I treasure my health and also the health of others, you know, everybody, you know, that's in the hospital, you know, with all the diseases going around, cancer and all these other things. Your health is very important. So today I treasure my health and the health of the world, you know, and that's very important to me. So that's what I treasure today, this week. It'll change, Ian. It changes, Ian. You know, it changes, you know. So this week is that.
This week it fluctuates. For me, my treasure is just being in, just having a home, and just in times like the dead of winter, the fact that I have a place I can call home, I have food, I'm able to drive around unless the road conditions are so bad that you can't drive around and have to keep your car a mile away. But I'm just so like grateful for what's in my life right now.
That's great, and that's I like that. I like that. And
and that's a big part of whatisyourtreasure.net, where we invite you to share with us your stories about what it is that's important to you in your life.
Yeah, and I encourage everybody to go there and share your treasure, because we have tons and tons of people who have written on there and shared their treasures, and we never get enough people, because we would like to know. We would like to know, what is your treasure?
Absolutely. So that's it for another wonderful week of Parents Kids Music. I'd like to inform you, next week our show will once again be on Thursday like it is today at same bat time, same bat channel here at 3 p.m., where Jay and I will be back with some other amazing guests who will share with you the relationships that they have with their parents, and if they are parents, their children, and the music that they create. And Jay, thank you so much for joining us again. What a great show we had.
Thanks again. Yes, we have. Great show today.
All right, thank you, and we will see you next week.
Next week! Yeah.
Future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.